Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. I would love for us to pray. Thank you to the band for leading us in that incredible worship this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, worshiping freely, lifting our hands in gratitude for all that you've done for us. And we don't have much to give, but to simply say thank you. And as we bring our gratitude to you this morning, God, we ask that you would open our hearts to receive what you want to teach us today. I pray that you would give me your words and that they would fall on open ears. We give you our full attention over these next few minutes. We want to know you more, Jesus. It's in your son's name that we pray, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. If you don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm the children's pastor here at Wellspring, and I serve on our communications team. Thank you. It's just always the Wellspring kids team that claps when I'm here. So just so y'all know, that's just my team. And I love you guys so much. Thank you for that. We have an incredible kids team, by the way. If you are new to our church, if you're checking us out, we have an awesome Wellspring kids team that loves on your kids, that creates a fun place for them to go and be on Sunday mornings and learn the truth of God's word in a fun way. So check it out next time you come. But we are in week two of Summer Days, and so it's an honor for me to be able to be here this morning, if I can get my words out, and share with you a little bit about something God's taught me. But one thing that I love to learn about is personality profiles. Does anybody else love studying different types of personalities? I don't know. A few years ago, I kind of got a little bit obsessed with it, and I started learning about all these different things like the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs, and I've done the DISC profile, and we've even done a church-wide study here about the color temperaments, all these different things. And I just think it's so interesting to learn about all the unique ways that God has wired us and all these different complexities that make up who we are, our wiring, our past, our environments, all these things. And whenever I take these tests, all of the ones, the results that I get back, have similar description of my personality. There'll be some words in there that describe me, and they all contain words like direct, sometimes controlling, a little harsh, temperamental, honest, sometimes blunt. These are not things that are fun to hear. Basically, I'm a ball of joy. If you want to be my, if you want to be my friend, I'm taking numbers. No, but seriously, when you take personality tests like that, you probably have some similar things that come back, and you're like, oh. Okay, that's not super fun to hear about myself. But all of those things, those weaknesses, if you will, that show up in our personality profiles are points of growth for us. Those are opportunities for us to go, okay, that's an area where I can grow. And so as I'm learning about all this stuff, one day I was at the grocery store, and when I go to the grocery store, I typically like to go to the self-checkout line, which as I said that to first hour this morning, I realized that's probably also saying something, revealing something about my personality right there. The fact that I would rather just go do it myself than let someone else help me. So that I'll be working on that this week, in case you wanted to know. But I like to go through the self-checkout line. But this particular day, for whatever reason, I ended up in the cashier's line, in her checkout line. And if you go grocery shopping very much, you might have noticed that not all cashiers are very careful with things like fruits and vegetables. Sometimes they're in a hurry, which I understand. They're trying to get to the next person in line, and they'll just kind of like throw stuff into the bag and then shove it to the end of the line. And they're not thinking about what the bananas are going to look like when you get them home. But I was, okay? I was thinking, I was just cringing watching this girl bag my groceries and just sort of throw the cantaloupe in and shove it down. And I was thinking in my head, like, how am I going to bring this up to her? Because this is a teaching moment here. And I'm having this conversation in my head about what I'm going to say. And then God whispered something to me. And he said, that's what you do with your words sometimes. Be gentle. And it was just such a clear picture And when he said it, he wasn't condemning and he wasn't unkind. That's how I know it was God speaking. Because if I had that thought on my own, it wouldn't have been nearly as kind and gentle. But as I was watching this girl throw produce in a bag and hearing God say, that's what you do with your words sometimes, be gentle. That word gentle just stopped me in my tracks. And I immediately thought of the fruits of the Spirit. How many of you know the fruits of the Spirit if you've been around church very much? And if you don't, that's okay. Paul outlines the fruits of the Spirit for us in his letter to the Galatians. He says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. What he's saying is, these are the qualities, these are the personality traits of Jesus, if you will. If Jesus took a personality test, these are the attributes that are going to show up on his results, right? But these are the qualities, Paul's clear, that the Holy Spirit produces in us. What that means is those of us who follow Jesus, who've surrendered our lives to him, have access to these qualities because the Holy Spirit lives in us. It doesn't mean we're going to automatically produce these qualities in our life, but we have the potential to produce these qualities if we are relying and depending on the Holy Spirit. And so for me, I thought, okay, gentleness. That's not something that comes naturally to me. And when we think about gentleness, don't we usually think of the way that we would handle a little baby or a little puppy, a little kitten, or maybe our bananas, our cantaloupes, right? Those tender fruits that we don't want to get bruised. We're gentle. But we don't often think about handling our words with gentleness. But here's the definition of gentleness. I want to share this with you. Gentleness is defined as the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. But what God was showing me at the store that day was that gentleness is as much about the quality and mild-mannered behavior as it is the quality of mild-mannered language. And for me, this is something that I have to work at. This does not come naturally for me. Gentleness is not in my nature. And so I just thought, maybe I'm not the only one. Maybe some of you share the same temperament that I do. And it might be something helpful for you to hear if I could share a little bit about what God's taught me on this journey of growing in gentleness. And I think so timely for us, if you're anything like me, as we enter these summer months and we spend more time around crowds of people at CCMF or at the airport or an amusement park or whatever your plans are, as you spend more time with your children at home, you might need to be aware of gentleness. So maybe this conversation will be helpful for you today. If you are anything like me, sometimes it's easy for us to want to excuse a quality like gentleness when we know it's just not the way that we're wired. We're going, well, that's just not who I am, and I'm never going to be that way. And so we just kind of put it to the side and go, that's for other people. There's more gentle people in the world than I am. There's more patient people in the world than I am. There are kinder people in the world than I am. And so you might already be thinking, well, why does it really matter if everybody's gentle? I mean, I'm honest. You're never going to have to wonder what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you. Isn't that helpful? Or you might be wondering, what exactly qualifies as mild-mannered language? I'm going to tell you what I've learned, and we're going to get there in just a few minutes. But first, I do want to excuse a few of you in the room, because you may have come with a friend today. You don't consider yourself a Christian. You're not even really sure what you believe about Jesus. And we're so glad that you're here. We welcome you. We hope that you feel welcome today. We hope that you enjoy yourself today. And we designed this place with you in mind. But as our conversation goes today about gentleness, I want you to know that you're kind of off the hook. There's no expectation for you to demonstrate gentleness. I think it might be helpful in the relationships that you care most about, but I'll trust you to make that decision for yourself. You may say, I'm fine like I am, and that's fine. But if you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, we're not excused from gentleness, regardless of our personality type, because Jesus was gentle. It is a quality of Jesus. And as his followers, we are commissioned to represent Jesus to the world. And so if we are following Jesus, that means we are seeking to represent his qualities to the world, even the ones who may not be wired, hardwired into us. And Jesus actually talks a lot about the way that we use our words. I want to take you to the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus's most famous sermon. It's found in both Matthew and Luke in the Gospels. And this is the sermon where a huge crowd had gathered on the hillside to hear Jesus talk. And he began to flip the script on what people thought they knew about following God. He started teaching about loving your enemies and praying for your enemies. He started teaching about taking the log out of your own eye before you call out the speck in someone else's. He talked about turning the other cheek when someone's done you wrong. And then about halfway through his sermon, he told a parable about trees and fruit, to which his audience would have leaned in because many of them were farmers. They had vineyards. They worked in fields. And so when he starts talking agriculture, they tune in. Here's what he says. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. Grapes come from the vine, obviously, right? So he's saying, if you look at a tree and you know what kind of fruit it is, I mean, what you look at a fruit and you know what kind of tree it is. Everybody knows that. And they're like, yeah, of course, we know that. And so he says, well, it's kind of the same with people. Jesus says a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Basically, he's saying you're going to be able to look at a person and tell something about them, the type of person that they are, by what they produce, by what shows up in their life. For example, what you say flows from what's in your heart. Everything that you say, all of the words that come out of our mouth, we think start in our mind or roll off of our tongue, but Jesus says they actually flow out of our heart. And the words that flow out of our heart are revealing something about the kind of heart that we have or about what's going on in our heart. He's basically saying that the quality of our words reveal the content of our heart. Everything we say, everything we text, everything we post, everything we communicate to other people or put out in the world tells a story about who we are, tells a story about what we believe, tells a story about what we value the most. The quality of our words reveal the content of our heart. And they tell a story about what's happening inside our heart. So I want you to start thinking about some of the some scenarios in your own life, maybe something that's happened this week, where you've said some words, maybe some words you wish you could take back. As you think about that, I'm going to give you an example from my life to kind of show you how our words flow out of the content of our heart. A few weeks ago, Eric and I were out of town, and we have three children, if you don't know our family. We have an 18-year-old who just graduated this week. Whew, I have a college kid, y'all. That's crazy. We have a 16-year-old, and we have a 12 going on 20-year-old. And truly, she's a mess. But we have three children, and a few weeks ago, Eric and I were out of town, and we were making our way back home, and two of our kids had asked for permission to do something, and I told them yes. And as we came back home, it was just after lunchtime. They were out of the house, and I came in. I was starving. I had not eaten, and I made myself a sandwich and sat down, and I looked at my phone to check their location, and I immediately had questions. Okay, it was like something. This isn't, I don't think that we talked about this. So I start texting them and asking what's happening, and the more information I get back, the angrier I was getting, because clearly this was not okay. I did not agree to this. This is not what we talked about, and I was getting really mad. Finally, I said, I'm coming to get you, which if you're a parent, you know, like, I'm coming to get you is not good, and I told Eric, I said, I have to leave right now. I have to go pick them up. And I pack my sandwich with me in the car because I'm going to eat. And then I get in the car, and I'm so angry. I'm slamming the garage door. I'm slamming the car door. I'm yelling out loud to no one in particular. and just yelling, you know, just mad. I get in the car and I have my keys. Don't you? Oh. So I had to get back out, go inside, find my keys somewhere in the house, stomp back through the house, get to the garage, get in the car. By the time I get to the red light outside our neighborhood, I'm sitting there at the light, and I thought about that produce. I thought about gentleness. I had 15 minutes to find some gentleness. 15 minutes. So I started thinking, okay, they haven't done anything criminal. Nobody's broken the law here. And they're really not being deceitful. They haven't told me a lie. I think we just had a miscommunication. And I'm probably partly to blame. I should have been clearer in the expectations up front. So why am I so mad right now? And my very next thought was fear. I'm afraid, because I was afraid for their safety. See, what everything that we say, everything that comes out of us tells a story about what's happening in our heart. It reveals something about what's going on in here. The quality of our words reveal the content of our heart. So here's a question for you to ask yourself. What do my words reveal about my heart? When you get angry, when you're frustrated, when you're feeling upset and your emotions are bubbling up inside of you like a tea kettle about to spill out, what's the content of your heart, really? Is it fear? Is it embarrassment? Is it insecurity? Is it just pressure and stress from something else? Maybe the content of your heart is sadness or grief. What's going on in there? Because oftentimes it gets stirred up by something and it wants to spill over. And when it does, it comes out harsh. It comes out hurtful. And if you're like me, you don't want it to be, but it happens. What is the content of your heart? It's just something for you to think on, something for you to sit with this week. Research tells us that we speak over 16,000 words in a day. That's a lot of words. That's just our spoken words. That doesn't even include the things that we text or post on social media. 16,000 words, somewhere in the ballpark of that. And it's no wonder to me that Jesus would say our words matter. It's no wonder to me that he would say that what we say reveals the content of our heart, because when we're speaking and communicating that much, we can't hide what's in our heart. It's gonna come out somehow, somewhere, some way, and to someone, right? A lot of times we hear actions speak louder than words, and I think we would all agree that that's true, but Jesus says our words matter too. Our words matter because they reveal something about what's happening in our heart. And so he says, instead of trying to zip your lips, examine your heart. Our gentle words and gentle tone start in the heart. Everything we say starts here, not rolling off of our tongue. It's coming from inside. When I realized that the content of my heart was fear, that the condition of my heart was worry, I just stopped for a moment and I prayed. I asked God to just protect my kids until I could get there. And as I started to pray, I felt the tension in my body relax and my emotions began to settle. And by the time I got to them, my anger had moved from anger and fear to gratitude, because I was just happy to see them. I was just glad they were okay. And I was happy for them to get into the car. And we were able to have a completely different conversation than we would have 15 minutes ago. It was a good thing I had a 15-minute car ride, because it was a totally different conversation where I was able to own my part and they were able to own their part. And we were able to have a conversation that was a learning opportunity. I think they actually learned something, guys. But if I had gone in screaming at them, yelling, angry, all they would have known is mom's mad. We made her mad. There's something that goes on in here that we need help with, because I want to be clear about something. I did not change on my own. I did nothing to move from anger to gratitude. The Holy Spirit did that. The Holy Spirit did that. As I started to pray, He changed the contents of my heart. And I can tell you from experience that gentleness is not something that you can achieve on your own. You cannot do it on your own. I have tried so many times and thought, I'm going to be so kind, I'm going to be so gentle, and then it doesn't work. We have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to change the contents of our hearts so that we can speak, so that we can represent the qualities of Jesus, like gentleness. Winning the battle with our words only works when we understand that gentleness is powered by the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus, His Spirit dwells in you and you have access to every quality that He possesses. So this could really apply to anything, any conversation, any quality that you want to work on in your life starts by knowing that it's powered by the Holy Spirit, changing your heart. Changing your heart. If you are living the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're missing a huge part, a huge benefit of knowing Jesus. It's like getting into a car without any gas in it. You can turn on the lights, you can wave the windshield wipers, you can play the radio, you can even honk the horn, but you're not going to go anywhere. The Holy Spirit is what fuels change in our life. Even if it's not in our nature, in our wiring, He makes that happen because He's able to do things in us that we never thought were possible on our own. So I'm just saying, if this is something that you struggle with, if you know this is a quality you've got to work on, know that you don't do it alone. And there's freedom in that. There is freedom in knowing that you can't do this, but you need the Holy Spirit to make that change in your heart. One of the words that when Paul actually gives the fruits of the Spirit, the word that he used for gentleness when he named and wrote about the fruits of the Spirit is actually rooted in the Greek word for humble. Humble. And I feel like that's helpful because it helps me to know that gentleness is actually a posture of humility. When we have a humble heart, then we can show gentleness. And Jesus was the perfect example of humility. He left His throne in heaven and came to the slums, as I always say. He came to the slums to be a human, to live among us, to be a sacrifice for our benefit, for our good. When we think about sacrifice, we think sacrificing resources, sacrificing time, sacrificing energy. But what about sacrificing with our words? We can be sacrificial and humble with our language as we speak to other people. There's so many places we could go in God's word to help us learn about this, but I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there with me quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is so clear about how we can be sacrificial with our language and with our words. This is what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Well, first of all, what is unwholesome talk? Can we please define that, Paul? Unwholesome talk, in the South we say cussing. That's Southern for profanity or swearing if you're not from around these parts. We say cussing. But unwholesome talk might be name calling, it could be swearing. But Paul gets really clear as we move through this passage of Scripture. He says, but only what is helpful for building others up. So in other words, if it's not helpful, it's not wholesome. That's easy to remember, right? If you want to know what unwholesome talk is, just remember, if it's not helpful, it's not wholesome. So how many of you have ever been screamed at and felt, that was so helpful? Me either. It's not helpful when someone yells at us. All we hear is yelling. We rarely take in what's being said. What about, has someone ever said, yeah, just move on, get over it? And was that helpful? No. So it doesn't have to be profanity. It doesn't have to be calling someone an ugly name. Unwholesome talk could be dismissive tone, dismissive language. It could be sarcasm. You know, sitcoms and TV and all that has kind of given all of us this language of sarcasm that we like to have fun with, don't we? And we joke about it, and it's fine. But sometimes we need to be helpful with sarcasm because sarcasm creates confusion, and confusion is not helpful. And so you have to know your audience. You have to know your listener. Anything that's not helpful is not wholesome, according to Paul. And what gentleness does is it speaks the language of sacrifice. When we are humble in our heart and we're able to speak from a place of humility, then we're able to speak the language of sacrifice. Paul says that when we speak the language of sacrifice, what we're doing is we are building others up in a way that is according to their needs, that they will benefit as the listener, is something that's helpful to them. So for example, instead of saying, "You are so irresponsible," we could sort of repackage it to say, "Seems like you're having trouble finishing this project. Is there anything I could do to help you complete it?" Rather than saying, "You knew better. Why did you do that?" You might be able to say, "Seems like we had a miscommunication. How about we revisit our expectations so that we don't make that mistake again?" It's not eliminating or saying, "Well, we're just not going to talk about it. We're sweeping it under the rug," or stuffing in your anger. It's repackaging it in a way that's helpful to the listener, in a way that builds them up, in a way that considers their needs above our feelings. That's gentleness. That's gentleness. You know, a lot of us, my generation, growing up, what we were taught is sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have been hurt by words. I'm sure you've been hurt by words. And sometimes words leave bruises. But Paul is teaching us that we can make our words land like a gift that's helpful to someone else, or our words can land more like a grenade that's just explosive and hurtful. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional about it, if we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we might be like that cashier at the checkout counter just throwing words around like cantaloupe and bananas, leaving bruises, not thinking about what it's doing to the other person. But we can use the language of sacrifice, speak gently in a way that helps people, whether it's one person, 10 people, 100 people, speaking the language of sacrifice. I want to revisit this list one more time just to remind us that gentleness starts in the heart. It starts here. And so, like I said, instead of trying to zip your lips like a lot of us do, we say, "Well, I'm just not going to say anything." And we know how well that works out for most of us that struggle with this, right? Eventually, we're going to say something. And if you hold on to it for too long, it's probably going to be worse than if you'd said something the first time. It starts in the heart. Examine the heart. And when we do that, then we can be powered by the Holy Spirit, because we can ask Him to change the content of our heart, to clean up the condition of our heart, so that then we're able to speak the language of sacrifice. Three is dependent on one and two. If you don't examine your heart and ask for help from the Holy Spirit, it's going to be so much harder to speak the language of sacrifice, because it comes from that posture of humility, of asking the Holy Spirit for help and allowing Him to change our heart. And you know what? We're not going to get this right every time. We are not going to get this right every time. We're going to have days where we're just throwing grenades around. Or we might have a moment, one conversation that we walk away from and wish we'd handled it differently. But you know what? The language of sacrifice says, "I'm sorry." It doesn't make excuses. It doesn't defend. It just says, "I'm sorry." Gentleness is going to a person when you know you've left a bruise and saying, "I was wrong." And as hard as this is something that as Christians we should do best is apologizing, because that comes from a place of humility. It's a posture of humility, and gentleness says, I'm sorry, speaks the language of sacrifice. If you're anything like me, gentleness is something that is easy for us to want to excuse because we know it's just not how we're wired. It's not in our nature. But you know, when you walk with Jesus, when you've surrendered your life to him, you don't walk in your nature anymore. We are a brand new creation, and we walk in the victory and in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is so freeing, guys, because it means we don't have to be a slave to our nature. We get to walk in the freedom of knowing I can change with the help of the Holy Spirit. I can be gentle. I can be patient. I can be kind. It starts in my heart. It starts here. So as we wrap up, I just want to remind you that the quality of our words reveal the content of our heart. Everything we say, everything we post, everything we text, all of that communication is revealing something about who we are, about what we believe. And if we walk with Jesus, we represent him. We have one goal, one story to tell, and that is the story of Jesus' love to everyone we come in contact with. So if we want to do that, if that's a value to you, then understand you don't have to be a slave to your nature. You can represent the qualities of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so your next step today, this is what I want to leave you with, is to ask yourself this question: what do my words reveal about my heart? What's going on in here when I get upset? When something triggers my emotions, where's it coming from? Is it grief? Is it insecurity? Is it stress or anxiety? And lay that at the feet of Jesus. Take it to him and ask the Holy Spirit to change the condition and the content of your heart. He will. I'm going to tell you, I'm a work in progress on this. It's been a week with gentleness in my house. It's not easy, but it is possible. It is possible. If we ask the Holy Spirit to change the condition of our heart, what will happen is that we will begin to change, so that what flows from us is gentleness, is love, is kindness. And our words can land like gifts and not like grenades, so that we speak the language of sacrifice. As you spend time this week in daily office and your commute to work, as you float on your back in the pool, just begin to examine your heart and ask God to show you what needs workshopped and lay at his feet. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that we have been reconciled with him. And because of Jesus, we can walk with you, that we have the power of your Holy Spirit to change our heart. And God, we want to reflect your qualities to the world. We want to demonstrate gentleness. We want to demonstrate love and kindness and patience to our family, to our coworkers, to strangers we meet. But we need your help. And so we just confess that to you right now. And we ask that you would take the contents of our heart, God, and change it. Condition us to live like Jesus, to represent Jesus. We surrender this here right now. And we know and believe that you want good things for us, and you want good things for the people in our lives. And so we ask for your help, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We love you. In your son's name that we pray, amen.